The Jack Paar program, presented by Lucky Strike.
American.
Remember, fine tobacco is what counts in a cigarette. And year after year.
LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. Yes.
LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. And fine tobacco means real deep down smoking enjoyment for you.
So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully packed, so free and easy on the draw.
From Hollywood, presents the Jack Paar program with Judy Irwin, the Page Cal Trio, Jerry Fielding and the orchestra, yours truly, Hi Averback. And starring America's new young humorist, Jack Paar!
Thank you very much. This is Jack Paar. Hello. And to those of you on vacation away from home, what makes you so sure you turned off the gas? Another message here, but this is personal. Last Sunday, my little cousin was playing in front of his house in Cleveland. The passing car had its radio tuned into this program. He hasn't heard my voice and started running after the car. He hasn't been heard from since. So, friends, if you don't mind, I'd like to say, Billy, go on home. I don't understand all this, as you know. Well, let's look at the week's news. Hollywood is all excited because Margaret Truman sang here last night. Miss Truman was accompanied by Eugene Ormandy and his all-secret service man orchestra. Tommy Dorsey and Benny Goodman made headlines this week on the sport pages. Now it's reported that Benny Goodman has a new type clarinet to play when he works with Tommy. With his new clarinet, he can blow music and poison darts at the same time. There was an announcement this week that more homes are being built now than ever before. This is great news for veterans who have watched amusement centers and cocktail lounges being built. Up till now, the only veterans who found homes were bowling balls who fought in the last war. A very important news story is that this is the beginning of the hay fever season for millions of people. The president opened the season by throwing out the first Kleenex tissue. Here in the studio today is Professor Hi Averback to explain hay fever and allergies to us. Good evening, Doctor. You're an expert on allergies.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I am allergic myself to sheepskin.
To sheepskin, Doctor?
Yes, that's why they would not give me my diploma.
Well, do you have a license in California?
Oh, yeah. I drive.
Tell me, Doctor, what is a sneeze?
A sneeze is nothing more than a tickle that exploded.
Very annoying. I hate to sneeze. It takes all the press out of my handkerchief.
Yeah, you see, hay fever is caused by pollen. Pollinization is the cause of it all.
Those birds and bees sure started a lot of trouble.
No, you see, you have to breathe in the pollen. You cannot breathe in birds and bees unless you have large nostrils.
Everything would be all right then if I could just close down my nose for the next month. Tell me, Dr. Averback, I've been worrying about my hay fever. Can you help me?
No need to worry. Just roll up your knees. There. Now I take this needle and I just scratch your arm there. And then I put the scratch here. Now one here. And one more scratch that way.
Doctor, I'm suffering.
I don't care what you're doing. I'm playing tic-tac-toe.
This week, I ran out of introductions for lovely Trudy Irwin and our mop-haired orchestra leader, Jerry Fielding, so I hired a special writer for the job. He's 91 years old, has a white beard, and his name is George Bernard Shaw. This is the introduction Mr. Shaw just cabled me. Trudy Irwin will sing Nice Work If You Can Get It. Jerry Fielding's orchestra will play Nice Work If You Can Get It. Somehow I feel Mr. Shaw is not for radio.
Holding hands at midnight, neath a starry sky. Life's worth if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Going with the one boy, sigh and sigh after sigh. Life's worth if you can get it, and you can get it if you try. Just imagine someone waiting at the cottage door, where two hearts become one, who could ask for anything more? Loving one who loves you, and then taking that vow. Nice work if you can get it, and if you get it, won't you tell me how? Imagine someone waiting at the cottage door, where two hearts become one, who could ask for anything more? Loving one who loves you, and then taking that vow. Life's worth if you can get it, and if you get it, won't you tell me how?
Now a few scientific words about inventions and inventors. Few of us realize it, but being an inventor is a thankless job.
I invented the rabbit hutch.
You see, nobody thanked him. There's no doubt about it, inventors have a tough row to hoe. Of course, farmers have a tough row to hoe too, but they have hoes. An inventor has to use his head. They say that necessity is the... You better laugh longer. We're going to be a half hour short today. They say that necessity is the mother of invention, but who is the father?
I invented the rabbit hutch.
Many inventors have been lost in the shuffle, never to be heard of again. Whatever happened to John W. Gassner, the man who invented the cow without, for people who don't like milk? And whatever happened to Eberhard Clements? He's the man who invented the glass-bottom Studebaker so you can keep your eye on the white line. But our little story tonight concerns an inventor whose life was a series of frustrations and catastrophes. This sad little man's name was Rodney Dump, or as his friends called him, just plain Rodney Dump. Rodney Dump's wife, Jinx, and Rodney were seated before the fire in their living room one winter evening, discussing Rodney's career as an inventor.
Rodney.
Yes, dear?
You're a bum.
Thank you, dear, and hand me that bottle. I want to drink myself to distinction.
Rodney, when are you going to invent something that'll sell and make some money? Look at me. All I have to wear is a pair of shorts and a halter. And I can't go to the store anymore in this halter.
What?
It's for the horse. Oh, why didn't I marry Burton Johnson?
Was he your horse?
No, he was a man, a M-A-N.
Well, make up your mind. Which was it?
You're nothing but a nincompoop. You call yourself an inventor. Why, Lorenzo Jones could make a monkey out of you.
Cut 4 inches below the quick, Rodney Dump determined to be the greatest inventor of all time. All he needed was inspiration. He kissed his wife, put out the cat, covered up the vulture, and left the house.
Rodney needed excitement, so he sold his car and went to a nightclub. There he met a girl.
Hello, cutie. Are you from Hollywood?
Oh, no, darling. I just came here to have breakfast with Tom Brenneman. But it wasn't any fun. Mrs. Brenneman was there.
Leaving the tourist sitting there on her orchid, Rodney went down to the beach. To the amusement park. There he met a girl.
Hello, cutie. What you doing tonight?
I'm wrestling a snake. I work in a sideshow.
Leaving Nightmare Alley, Rodney wandered down Lover's Lane in the darkness. There he met a girl.
Hello, cutie. What you doing tonight?
I invented the rabbit hunt.
Fired with inspiration, Rodney Dump started to invent marvelous inventions. First, he invented the steamboat. Then he invented the railroad train. Then he got drunk. Yes, Rodney Dump was drunk with power. He made millions of dollars overnight and spent a fortune on his wife. And she was no longer cold towards him. One day she brought him something.
See, just what I wanted. An electric blanket.
But Rodney's joy was short-lived. Soon his money ran out. The servants left him. His wife left him. Even the electric blanket left him. Rodney tried to commit suicide. He threw himself in front of a swan in the tunnel of love. It was no good. He tried an overdose of sleeping pills. He got an overdose of sleep. He tried various methods of suicide, but none of them worked. Then he remembered a cousin who, quite by accident, had fallen into a vat of Jergens lotion and softened to death. Then, suddenly, one day, Rodney got his idea for his greatest invention. But alas, before poor Rodney had a chance to enjoy his triumph, he died, penniless and alone, at the Palladium. But Rodney Dump is not forgotten, nor will he be, for you see, Rodney Dump made a great contribution to radio through his marvelous invention. Countless millions will be forever grateful. And now I give you the invention of that genius Rodney Dump, the greatest idea of all times, his tremendous gift to civilization. Ladies and gentlemen... The Silent Disc Jockey.
Lucky Strike presents The Man Who Knows, the independent tobacco expert who knows from his own experience at the auction what kind of tobacco is bought by the makers of Lucky Strike.
American.
Lucky Strike presents The Man Who Knows, the tobacco auctioneer.
The Solution Purdom of Springfield, Kentucky has sold more than 240 million pounds of tobacco. He said recently...
At every auction I've attended, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine quality tobacco. That fine, ripe smoking leaf that makes a smooth, mild smoke. I've smoked Lucky's myself for 22 years.
Yes, the man who knows. Independent tobacco experts like Mr. Purdom, men who really know tobacco, can see the makers of Lucky Strike consistently select and buy that fine, that light, that naturally mild tobacco. Remember,
L-S-M-F-T.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco, and fine tobacco means real deep down smoking enjoyment for you.
So smoke that smoke of fine tobacco, Lucky Strike. So round, so firm, so fully fat, so free and easy on the draw.
One of the outstanding musical discoveries of the year is our Page Cavanaugh Trio. People have been asking about them, and so I'll describe them to you. Collectively, the trio has three noses, six ears, 96 teeth, 12 silver fillings, and weigh 465 pounds, not including their fountain pen. Put them all together, they spell a wonderful new whispery kind of music. Gentlemen?
Mother Goose is a dead duck.
Yes, friends, today little kids just don't go for the old Mother Goose rhymes anymore. Nowadays, if you tell Junior and that Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water, he'll probably say those icky. Why didn't they call the arrowhead distilled water man? He delivers. Now, when I was a child, the most popular stories were always the fairy tales, the stories of Jack and the Beanstalk, Hansel and Gretel, Little Bo and Pete, Queenie and Mark, and of course, the fascinating stories of the Hood Kids, Red Riding and Robin. But my favorite story was always the one about Cinderella and the glass slipper. There's an interesting thing, a shoe made out of glass. You can always look down and see what Dr. Scholl is doing. Because of my interest in Cinderella, I've done a lot of research on the subject and of the poor little girl who was so mistreated by the mean people she lived with. And in my research, I discovered a shocking misrepresentation of facts. A rare document in my possession proves, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that
Cinder was a fella.
Turn to follow. Oh, whoa, that miserable urchin.
Turn to follow.
Mater, dear, you're much too wealthy to raise your voice this way. Couldn't you hire Harry Von Zell to do it for you?
Please, Oglethorpe. Screaming at that horrid Cinderella is the only exercise I get, except when I lost him with my Nick and Nine tails. Where is he?
I sent him out to the garage to clean the exhaust pipe on my car.
How can that scrawny little rat clean an exhaust pipe?
He crawls through it, dragging a wad of steel wool behind.
If that deplorable boy doesn't hurry, we shall be late for the ball tonight.
Oh, Major, we can't be late for the princess's ball. Tonight she's going to choose her future husband, and everyone will be there.
Yes. The people will be simply scrumptious. The Duke of Chichester, the Duchess of Litchester, the Duke and Duchess of Whitchester, the Duchess of Litchester, and Otwater Kent.
I say, look, Mater, here comes that filthy little servant, Cinderella.
Oh, Wick Oglethorpe, hand me my platinum air wick.
Mistress, I've done all my chores. I've shut the shutters, I've loosened the blinds, and I put a new davin on the porch.
Where have you been so long, you uncouth slave?
Please, master, I went to a meeting of the slaves' union of Press Local Number 47. We're going to strike for a 40-hour day and more links than our chains.
You cannot strike, filthy one. There is much to be done while Mater and I attend the princess's ball.
Please, master, inform your mother I'm very hungry. I must have food.
Food? How utterly ridiculous you look. You just had lunch not more than 3 days ago. And now, Oglethorpe, let us leave for that grand ball.
Yes, Mater. Cinderella, in addition to your other duties, you will keep a lamp burning in the window until we return.
But we have no lamps. You broke them all over my head this morning.
In that case, there's only one thing to do. Here, Oglethorpe, put this light bulb in Cinderella's mouth and plug his garter into the electric socket.
Who's that?
Is I, me child.
Why, you're my fairy godfather. I... I know you're my godfather because all your clothes are made that way. How'd you get in here?
I flew in on the vacuum cleaner. It's a Hoover. In fact, Herbert, me co-pilot.
Oh, Godfather, I have not seen you since my twin brother and I were born.
Twin brother? Ha! Your brother is 37 and you're but 18. How could he be your twin?
I was a deep freeze baby.
Egad, gadzooks, zounds, and other Victorian expressions of surprise. But tell me, child, we have no time to lose. You are going to the princess ball.
But, Godfather, look at me. I'm too filthy dirty to go to the ball.
No mind me, child. I'll clean you with my magic wand.
How can I get clean with a magic wand?
It's filled with Clorox.
But I have no clothes to wear. Look at me. My rags are all in tatters, and the tatters are full of threads, and even the threads are frayed.
Don't mind me, lad. I'll clothe you in magic. Abadabba, abadabba, abadabba. Here, slip into this.
What is it?
The latest single boy, a brand new abadabba.
Gee, just what I've always wanted.
And now for your transportation. I'll conjure my finest miracle, a new Chrysler Town and Pumpkin.
But I can't drive, fairy godfather.
No mind me, boy. I'll give you two of the finest coachmen, Kaiser and Fraser. Now be gone, me boy, and enjoy yourself. But remember, you must leave the ball before midnight.
Princess, you dance divinely, and I fear I'm too clumsy for you. You see, I'm out of practice. I've been in the stag line so long, I grew a pair of antlers.
Oh, Hansy Finger, won't you lift your mask and let me see who you are? I know you must be a very wealthy person.
How do you know?
You're the only one here who's wearing one of those new abadabos.
My dear Princess, I fear I'll have to leave you soon.
But why?
You may think me strange, but I have to put a bulb in my mouth and plug my garter into a socket. Have you the correct time?
Let us turn on this radio and get it.
At the sound of the gong, it will be 12 midnight, Gruen Kerbeck hourglass time.
Remember, the curvex hourglass is the only one that contains sand bent to fit the wrist.
Midnight, I gotta get out of here.
Stranger, come back, stranger, come back.
It has now been 3 months since the princess's ball, and that gracious lady has still not chosen her future husband. Instead, she is continuing her search for a handsome, mysterious stranger who was last seen wearing an abadabba.
Good night to you, and I do mean
you. Oh, don't stop. Turn off that radio.
All right, Mater. Send a fella, take that loudspeaker off her head and pull your garter out of the socket.
Oh, thank you, Master, and I wish you wouldn't make me do that anymore. The electricity's melting my bridgework.
You're so vulgar. Wipe the gold off your chin and get out of here.
Look, maybe there's someone coming up our driveway. It's the princess.
Greetings, subject. I'm here to seek a mysterious stranger who is to be my prince and our future king.
Your Majesty, how will you know the stranger when you see him?
Oh, I have a way. When he fled the palace weeks ago, he dropped this.
A pair of plastic glass suspenders.
Yes. And when I find the one who leaves glass suspenders fit perfectly, I will have found my future husband. Do you, Oglethorpe, wear suspenders?
No, I wear a velvet Buster Brown suit, the pants buttoned to the shirt.
Then no one in this house wears suspenders?
I do.
You?
Yes. If I don't, my hip boots sag.
Is there anyone else in this house?
Only Cinderella, our filthy little slave. That's him over there.
You, how do you keep up your trousers, you skinny little wretch?
I just tucked them in between my ribs.
Well, nevertheless, you'll have to try on these glass suspenders. You may be the one.
All right, Princess, I'll try.
Princess, Your Majesty, we found the mysterious stranger. We found him.
Are you positive?
Yes, yes, the suspenders fit him perfectly. Here he is.
Oh, my beloved prince.
My beautiful princess.
My fairy godfather.
Jack Paul will be back in just a moment. But first, Lucky Strike presents The Man Who Knows. The Man Who Knows, the tobacco warehouseman.
Mr. Ed Isaac, popular warehouse operator from Lebanon, Kentucky, recently said,
season after season, I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy fine, ripe tobacco. The kind of leaf a tobacco man really goes for.
The Man Who Knows. The tobacco auctioneer.
Mr. Brian Williams, ace tobacco auctioneer of Paris, Kentucky, said not long ago,
I've seen the makers of Lucky Strike buy tobacco that just can't be beat for real smoking quality. Smoked Lucky's myself for 16 years.
And so it goes with the man who knows, the tobacco expert. Remember, fine tobacco is what counts in a cigarette. And
LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
LSMFT.
Lucky Strike means fine. Lucky Strike means fine.
Here, when the Page Cavanaugh Trio, Jerry Fielding in the orchestra, yours truly, Hi Averback, and starring Jack Parr.